Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Ches. Yesterday we had a discussion where we quoted Rabbi Avohu, who described what the word kavul means in the Mishnah. There were two possibilities. It meant kavlo di avda. It meant that it was some sort of an insignia, some sort of like an ID tag that an avid would wear, an earthenware attachment that they would put onto either their clothing or their neck. Or with some sort of a kippah, some sort of a hat that women would wear. And if you said that the word kavul meant the kippah, then it certainly included that you're not allowed to go out with the kavla di avda. But if it meant kavla di avda, so then you could go out with the kippah shel tzemer. And Rabbi Avohu concluded, he says it makes sense, mistavro kiman d'omar kippah shel tzemer, that it includes both of them, the kippah shel tzemer, and certainly you can't go out with the kavla di avda. That was Rabbi Avohu's opinion. Now we pick up on the end of the first line on Nunches Amud Aleph. We bring down the opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Avohu. Shmuel Amar Kavlo Di Avdatnam. When the Mishnah says you're not allowed to go out with a kvul, it's referring to this Kavlo Di Avdat, this insignia, this ID tag that the slaves would wear. And in fact, the woman could go out with the kippah. That's not a problem. Gemara questions this. Did Shmuel really hold like this? Shmuel says, Yotzei ha'eved b'chosem shebitzavaro, that the eved is allowed to go out with this insignia, with this chosem over here on the neck. They wear it some sort of like a necklace around the neck, like an ID tag that people wear with a strap around their neck. Avalo b'chosem shebitzavaro, but you're not allowed to go out with this kablo diabda if it's attached to your clothing. But since our Mishnah doesn't make any distinction between the Chosim Shebetzavaro or the Chosim Shebetzuso, here Shmuel says you can go out on Shabbos with the Chosim Shebetzavaro. That implies that our Mishnah, if Shmuel says that the Eved can't go out with this Kavla Diavda, so our Mishnah says you can't go out with a Chosim over here. So we seem to have a contradiction in what Shmuel says. In one place he says you can go out with the Chosim, the other place he says you can't go out with the Chosim. Now we don't give the simple answer that one's talking about the Chosim Shebetzavaro versus the Chosem Shebechsuso, because Tosa says our Mishnah implies across the board, carte blanche. You're not allowed to go out at all with the Kavla Diabda. So therefore, you can't say that our Mishnah is only referring to a certain type of Kavla Diabda. In any event, Gemara gives a different reconciliation. Lo Kasha, two statements of Shmuel aren't a stira. Ha, Diavad Le Rabbe. It depends on who made this kavlo di avda. When the master makes it, so then Rashi says, isle a masa, the person, the slave, is going to be terrified to take this off. He's certainly not going to go and take it and put it in his hand, because that demonstrates that he's a slave to the master, and he's a terror of his, in fear of his master, that if the master sees him without the insignia that he's a slave, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. So therefore, when the Rebbe makes it, we're not concerned that he's going to take it off, but if he makes it himself, so then, you know, he may take it off, because the Rebbe isn't so makpid, obviously, that he demonstrates that he's that person's slave. So that's how you reconcile the two statements of Shmuel, why sometimes yes and why sometimes no. Now, we haven't explained the difference yet between the Chosim Shebetzavaro and the Chosim Shebechsuso. That we haven't explained. All we've done by this answer is to say that our Mishnah is talking about we're not allowed to go out with this kuval. That's talking about where he made it himself, the Ovid Ihu L'Nafshei. And therefore, he may come to take it off and carry it down L'Nam Asusha Sarabim. That's what our Mishnah says. No, you can't go out with the kvul. However, the Braisa, where Shmuel says you're allowed to go out with the kvul, we haven't explained yet again the difference between Tzohar and Ksuso, but he says you're allowed to go out with the kvul, at least in some situations, that's when the Rebbe made it, because we're not concerned that you're going to take it off, because you have the fear of the Rebbe, and therefore, you fear of your master, and therefore, you're not going to take it off. So Gemara says, B'mayu kumta l'hod Shmuel. How have we reconciled Shmuel over here? We said when Shmuel says it's permissible to go out, the Ovid Le Rabbe, that's talking about where the master, the Rebbe, made it, and therefore the Eved is not going to take it off. So why should there be a difference? Bechosim shebechsuso amai lo. If the Rebbe made it, the master made it, so why are we not allowing him to go out with the kavla over here that is on his ksus? Shmuel differentiated between tzavaro and his ksus. So Gemara says the answer is simple. Duma Mifsak. We're talking here that maybe it's going to fall off. It's going to break and no longer be attached to the ksus. And therefore, Umirsis, the slave is going to be terrified that he's going to be seen without wearing his ID tag that he's a slave, without wearing this insignia, and therefore, umikapele, he's going to fold over his garment over the spot where the insignia normally goes. Let's say the insignia goes above the left breast pocket. So he's going to fold his garment over so that isn't visible. And therefore, umechisle akasve, and he's going to wrap his garment in a way that's no longer considered wearing the garment, but is now considered carrying the garment. And this is Kidder Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. This is in accord with Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef said that this is an Issur Daraisa. Yom Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Yom Rav Yochanan, he said the name of Yochanan, Hayotzi Betalas Mikupelis. If you go up with a folded talis, in other words, a talis doesn't have a living meaning, a talis means a garment. If you don't wear your garment, but you fold it over yourself, like people sometimes wear a sweater, and they just toss it over their shoulder, and they're not really wearing it, and you have this not worn but folded over on your shoulder on Shabbos, which is what the Eved is going to do over here, so people shouldn't see that he's not wearing his insignia. They'll say, oh, it's folded over, it's just covered up. Chayev Chatos. This would be a Chayev of a Chatos. This is an Issur D'oraisa if you did this intentionally. And therefore, Shmuel says, well, we're not concerned over here that the Eved is going to intentionally go and take this off, but if it comes off, it's an earthenware thing, it could break. So therefore, he's going to be very much afraid not to have the insignia on him, and he'll fold over his garment in a way that's an Issur D'oraisa. So therefore, Shmuel says, when it's in Yechosem B'Ksuso, you may come to do this. But B'Tzavaro, there's no concern. You'll fold something over. If it breaks, it breaks. What can you do? So therefore, there's no problem going out with the Chosem Shibat Tzavaro, even if it's the master's making it. But with the Chosem Shibat Suso, we're afraid, if it's the master that made it, that you're going to be so nervous about not wearing it that you're going to end up doing an Issur D'oraisa. And this is exactly what the Gemara says, Amaisa Shoya. The Chiyah Adam Alei Shmuel L'Ruchinna Bar Shila. Kulu Rabbanan Dvei Reish Galusa. All the Rabbanim in the house of the Reish Galusa, lo livsiku besarboli chasime. They had to go out with their insignia over here that they belong to the Reish Galusa's house. Now, this is different than a slave for a master, but all the employees of the Reish Galusa, they had to be demonstrating that they belong to the Reish Galusa, so to say. Rashi brings down over here, hayu osin chasumos l'taliso shalem. They would wear some sort of an insignia that they had to wear on their garments. Ke'ein avodim, like an Eved would wear, but they were just servants or employees. They were civil servants of the Reish Galusa. And the reason why they wore this is laharo shen kfufin l'reish galusa. They had to show their subservience to the Reish Galusa. And therefore, lo lifku, they couldn't go out with this on Shabbos, the imifsike, mirsaseim kaple lo. The same exact problem would be with an Eved that he's worried that his insignia breaks, he's going to fold over his garment. The same thing with all these rabbis that were in the employee, the civil servants of the Reish Galusa, they weren't allowed to go out with their insignias on Shabbos as well, because if it broke, they would end up possibly doing the sis of the rice of folding over the shirts. But there was one exception to the rule. As Shmuel said to Rav Chinen of Bar Shila, you're the exception, Labar Minoch, because the lo kapte alech devei reish galusa. You are so special, you're unique, and that nobody would think for a second that you weren't an employee, so to say, of the reish galusa. You were so well known, you were so mefursome over here that if you were to go, Rashi says, im telech below chosam, nobody would say boo. So therefore, you could go out, because if yours broke, you wouldn't go and end up carrying. Okay. Gufa. Now we go back and analyze. When we have the word gufa, we go back and discuss the entire statement that was made. So Shmuel had said, Shmuel, Yotzi Eved b'chosam shebet svaro. The Eved is allowed to go out with the ID tag, so to say, tied in some sort of a necklace around his neck. However, avalo b'chosam shebet susa, but he can't have it if it's on his clothing. Bryce says the exact same thing as Shmuel. Shmuel was an Amora. He didn't know all the Bryces necessarily. They weren't redacted well. So we have a Bryce in support of what Shmuel said. Tani Nami Hochi, Yotzei Ha'Eved B'chosim Shebet Savaro. And Eved is allowed to go out. The Feirish, like Shmuel said, with the ID tag around his neck, Avalo B'chosim Shebet Suso, but not with it on his clothing because of the concern that he'll end up going and folding over his garment if it breaks. Or Minu, however, the Gemara says, wait a second, there's another Brisa that seems to argue with this Brisa that we just brought down, the Tani Nami Hochi. The other Brisa says, Lo Yetzu Eved B'chosim Shebet Savaro. The other Brisa says, an Eved is not allowed to go out with a Chosim on his Savaro, and Lo B'chosim Shebet Suso. Can't go out with either of the insignias, either the one he wears around his neck or the one that's attached to his clothing. The Brisa continues, that's already the kasha that we have, but the Brisa continues, Zev is a mekabel tumah, and both of these types of insignias over here, they're earthenware insignias over here, they're not capable of accepting tumah. They're not really over here a keli of any sort, and therefore they're not makabel tumah. As Rashi says, the lav lanoi ovid, they're not for beautification, they're not an adornment, so they're not a kli in that respect, that they could become tumah mishum tachshit because of being a kli. I, v'afagav v'bishol mateches mukminim lo l'kamon, even though we're going to say that a metal one could accept tumah, mihu lav lanoi dilehu. This isn't one for his adornment, it's actually a negative over here, and therefore, and it's also not a utensil, doesn't serve any real purpose, so therefore, it's not capable of being kabel tumah when it's this earthenware type of insignia. So that's the next part of this price. Furthermore, it says that the eved is not allowed to go out below bezuk shibet savoro, the eved can't go out with some sort of a bell that's around his neck. However, but he could go out with a bell that's attached to his clothing. Rashi explains over here that they would sometimes wear a bell, lenoi of it. They would wear this as an adornment. However, you can't go out with it around your neck, but you can go out with it on your clothing. Gemara will explain this when we finish this brisa. In any event, it also tells us, v'zev zev akav tumah, both of these types of bells are considered a kli. Rashi says, shetachshitu, they're a tachshit, they're an adornment, and therefore they're both capable of accepting tumah. Zev zev akav tumah. And the Brisa continues and says, however, below tzeitzei behema, an animal is not allowed to go out lo b'chosim shibat sabar. It can't wear this some sort of a identification tag around its neck. Lo b'chosim shibat susa, and it can't wear anything attached to any garment. What type of garments do animals wear? So Rashi says, for example, a horse, osin lesusim me'ilin shelo yitanfu. They would put some sort of a blanket maybe around the horse so it shouldn't get dirty. In any event, the animal is not allowed to go out with this chosem, neither on its savor or attached to its clothing. Likewise, the animal can't go out, lo bezuk shebechsusa, lo bezuk shebetzavara. The animal can't go out with a bell as well. We previously said, because this looks like you're taking the animal to the market, that you're going to the chinga, we said. However, both the situation of the chosem and the zug, neither of them is capable of accepting tumah. Why is that? Because ain tachshit lebehema. Rashi says there's no such thing as an adornment for the behema, and it's not a kli. It doesn't serve any purpose. It's purely as an adornment for the animal, and by din there is no such thing as an adornment for an animal that's makabel tumah. Therefore, zev is the ain makabel tumah. No, that's the brisa. The bottom line is the first part of the brisa, which says lo yetzei eved b'chosim shibat savaro, v'lo b'chosim susso, argues with the brisa, the tanya nami hacha that we brought down, that says yotzei eved b'chosim shibat savaro. So Gemara says lema ha the oved le rabbi ha the oved ihulin hashay. So there's a very simple answer. Where the person made it himself, we said that there is no concern, because if he breaks, it falls off, he's not going to be concerned. He doesn't have the aim so the rabba. However, the Brisa that says you can't go out with it, so that's because we're concerned that maybe you're going to fold it over. And therefore, maybe that's the reconciliation between the two Brises. This is the exact same teretz that we gave to reconcile between the Mishnah and the statement of Shmuel. Moore says, no, lo, I don't like that teretz. Indeed, both of them are talking about the Brisa that says you can go out around your neck, but not with your chsus, and the Brisa that says you can't go out with your neck or with the chsus. Both are talking about where the Rebbe made it. So the aims of the Rabbah, the servant's not going to want to take it off. He's going to be wanting to show it because he's afraid. His Rebbe's going to see him. The master's going to see him and say, hey, how come you're not wearing the insignia? The difference between the two, the kanj b'shal mateches, the second brisa where we said that you're not allowed to go out with it around your neck, is when you're dealing with a mateches, it's made of metal. The kan b'shal tit, but the brisa where we said you can go out with it around your neck, is where it's talking about it's an earthenware, like we'd explained previously. Uchad Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Ravu, and this is in accord with what Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Ravu said. The dover ha-makbidol of Rabbo ein yotzen bo, something that the person is makbid about. In other words, the master over here is going to be makbid that you should wear this, so then you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, because if it comes off, then we're afraid you're going to go carry it down at Amos, b'shus rabin. As Rashi says, im yovan, if you were to lose this, lo yetze, the imavsik, maisile, because in this situation, your master will be very upset if you lost it, so if it falls off, you're going to go pick it up and carry it down at Amos, b'shus rabin. You're going to forget. The earlier Rashi says, but the chosem shaltit, the earthenware one, the mitzvah if it breaks, ain't makbid olav. Lahavi shvarav lebeis adonai. The metal one, that's worth something, but the earthenware one, if it breaks, it's not worth anything. Therefore, hilkach lecha luukme b'do'avad le'rabbei. That's why we don't answer over here that it's the one that the master made. The avad le'rabbei have a mitzvah. The chosman shalom nivsak lo shokal mitzvah varo mishum aims to the rabbei. So around the neck, he's not going to take it off. V'mivsach, and if it breaks, lo kapod le balav, because mishum said that the lekum said that, because it's not worth anything. Therefore, hilkach lo ma'isila. Therefore, the neck we're not concerned about. And that's what the Gemara says. Dovra makpid lo rabo and yosimbo. The metal thing where the master is going to be makpid. If you don't bring it back, so then we don't let you go out with it, because if it falls off, you're going to carry it down lamas which is rabim. However, dovra she ain makpid lo yosimbo. But the chosem, so around the cloak, we're concerned that if it falls off, you're going to be embarrassed not to have it around your cloak, so you're going to carry. So that's why you can't go out with the one b'tsuso. But around the neck, so if it breaks, it breaks. What can you do? The Rebbe is not going to, you're obviously not going to be able to cover it up in some way because it's around your bare neck. And if it breaks, it's worth nothing, so the Rebbe is not going to be insistent, why didn't you bring it home? So therefore, there is no concern that you come to do something, either to carry it down, or you'll fold your garment over to cover it up, because neither of those apply with the earthenware chosim that's around your neck, and therefore that's why you're allowed to in that situation. The Brisa says you're allowed to, but in the second Brisa, you're not allowed to because it's talking about a metal type of insignia. And this makes sense, the Gemara says, Hochanami Mistabra. Look at the wording. Midiktani is Zev is the Eim Makabal Tuma. We said in the Brisa, the second Brisa, that it's not Makabal Tuma. Now, Iyamas Bishlom Shlom Mateches, if you're telling me that it's made out of Mateches, Hanihu de lo Makabal Tuma. That's why you'd have to tell me that it's not Makabal Tuma, because it's not considered something that is either an adornment, it's not for the purpose of adorning the Eved, it's to show he's a slave, and it doesn't serve any function. But you might have thought, since it's metal, that you'd have to tell me that it could accept Tumah, therefore you have to tell me that it doesn't accept Tumah. Okay, great. Hani hu de lo makabli Tumah. That's what you have to tell me, that it doesn't accept Tumah. However, ha kelim did hu makabli Tumah, implying that other utensils of metal normally do makabli Tumah, and that's why you have to tell me this one is not makabli Tumah. Elo yamas b'shol titnan, but if it was actually talking in the second brisa that we're dealing here with an earthenware type of an insignia, Hanihu de lo makabli Tumah. You have to tell me that this earthenware utensil doesn't accept Tumah? Ha, kelim didhu makabli Tumah implies that other types of earthenware utensils over here do accept Tumah. Now, we're not talking about a klicheris over here. We're just talking about a cheap earthenware, non-burned in the furnace type of an insignia. And therefore, that is never makabli Tumah. Ha, tanya, we learned in a braisa, clay avonim, utensils that are made out of stoneware, and clay glolim, or utensils that are made out of dung, they would harden the dung and use it as a utensil, and uklei adama, this earthenware utensil, not a kli cheretz, but it wasn't put into a fire, it wasn't put into a kiln, so therefore it's just a plain piece of dirt that is fashioned into a certain shape. None of these are considered utensils, none of them are considered capable of mekabel tumah, and ein mekabel tumah lo midivrei Torah, and not even lo midivrei sofrim. They don't even mekabel tumah midivrei sofrim. No rabbinical tumah was put on them, and therefore, the only way to learn the second brisa is it's talking about metal. And therefore, el shma mino shoma teches. Oh, shma mino, that's a good raya, that the second brisa that we brought down is talking about the metal type of insignia, and the first brisa, the tiny nami hachi that we had, is talking about an earthenware, a clay type of a utensil that is worthless. And it's not makabel tumah, and therefore there's no concern with wearing it around your neck on Shabbos, because nothing could cause you to go and do an Isser Daraisa. You're not going to care if it breaks to pick it up and carry, because it's worthless, it doesn't have any intrinsic value, and there's no way you can cover it up, so to say, because it's around your neck, it's not on your garment. Now we go back and discuss part of this second brisa that we brought down. When we say gufa, as I pointed out, we discuss the whole thing. When we say omar mar, that usually means that we're discussing part of it. So omar mar, lo bezug shebitzavaro, avoyosu bezug shebitzuso. You're not allowed to go out with a bell that is around your neck, but you can go with a bell that's in your garment. So Gemara says, why? What's the difference over here? Zug shebitzavaro, amai lo. Why can't you go out with a bell that's around your neck? So Gemara says, dilma mifsak, because we're concerned that maybe it will fall off, it will break. But also lasuya, and the bell has some value to it, and you're going to carry it. And therefore, we don't let you go out with it around your neck, because it could break, and you'll carry it. Of course, it's the same thing. So why is it any different for a bell that's on your clothing? The same thing should occur. Maybe it'll break. Lechos duma mifsik, it's going to fall off. And you're going to go carry it. So why is there a difference between the bell around the neck and the bell in your garment? So Gemara says, you know what we're talking about? Hochamai askinan, de micha be mumcha. When you have it around your neck, this is wearing it on a string around your neck. But when it's attached to the garment, it's put in by a mumcha. It's put in by a person who's an expert tailor. And therefore, as Rashi says, sha'argo bebeged, the sulo mirsik, it's attached so well into the garment, it's unlikely that it's going to break. And therefore, if it's not a dover shliach, something that's not regularly going to happen, the rabbis didn't make gezeirah. So around your neck, it could easily come off. So the rabbis made gezeirah. You may come to carry it down the Amos Rishus Rabbin. But if it's sewed well into the garment, Uchid Rav Huna Beredi of Yeshua, the Amor Rav Huna Beredi of Yeshua, Kol Shirar Glo Gotsu. The rabbis didn't make gezeirah here on something that was woven into your garment because it's going to be well attached. As Rashi says, Lo Gotsu, Lotzis Bo. The rabbis didn't say, you're not allowed to go out with it. And this is similar to what Rav Huna said previously by Arvig in yesterday's shir. And therefore, he says, we don't have to be concerned. Then the Braisa said, oh my, we quote again another part of the Braisa, lo tzeitze ben hema, the animal's not allowed to go out, not only with the insignia, lo b'chosim shivet savara, around its neck, lo b'chosim shivet susa, if it wears some sort of a blanket, the horse blanket, so you can't wear a chosim attached to that and go out with the animal with that, lo b'zuk shivet savara, lo b'zuk shivet susa, and likewise, you can't go out with a bell around its neck or with a bell attached to this horse blanket over here. But it then pointed out, zeh v'zeh ein mekabel tumah. In the insignia or in the bell case, they're not capable of being mekabel tumah. So Gemara says, is that really true? V'zug de behema ein mekabel tumah. A bell that's on an animal is not capable of being mekabel tumah. But I'll show you another brice that says that it is. Reminu, I'll show you a brice that it says otherwise. Where it says, b'fei rizug shel behema tumeya. If an animal is wearing a bell that is tumah. Now, it means over here, tumeya. It has the ability to be mekabel tumah. The sheldalis, however, a bell that's on a door, which is mechubur lekarka, is tohra, is not capable of being mekabel tumah. As Rashi says, the sheldalis mechubur lebayisu, the door is attached to the house, and it's mechubur lekarka, it's not called the kli lekabel tumah. However, the bell, hosilo, is batul legabe. The bell that's for the door, you might think, well, that is a kli. No, it's subordinate to the door. And therefore, call a mechubur lo, harayu kamo. Anything that's attached to the door, which is attached to the house, which is attached to the ground, is called mechubur lekarka. It's not mekabel tumah. So the bell of the animal can accept tumah, whereas the bell on the door cannot accept tumah. The Gemara says, what happens if you now switch it around? Sheldelis, you had a bell on a door, vasolu behema, and you switched it around, and now you're putting it on your animal. So then, you've changed it from being mechubur lekarka to now being a kli on the animal, and it's kabel tumah, tumeya. It can't accept tumah. However, the other way around, shel behema, if you took the bell that you had on the behema, vasolu delis, and you attached it to the door, still, afo pishu chibur ledelis, even though it's now attached to the door, ukvav mimasmarim, even though you attached it with nails, you have put it into the door, so it's now mechubur to the delis, which is mechubur lekarka, nevertheless, tumah, it still is capable of being a kabel tumah. Why? The reasoning is, shekola kelim yordim lidei tumasa mimachshava. Just thinking of changing something from a thing that couldn't accept tumah to now making it a kli that could accept tumah, like the delis that was the bell on it, and you take the bell off, and you haven't changed the bell at all, but you put it on the animal, so that machshava is enough to make it now be makabel tumah. However, ein olin lidei tumasa ela b'shinoi ma'isa. But the only way that it's going to go and lose its status of becoming, of being capable of accepting tumah, is if you do a maisa to it. Now, all you did was take the bell from the animal and put it on the door. That's not any change in the bell. Therefore, it was makabel tumah, capable of makabel tumah, and by just putting it on the door, that's not enough of a maisa to take it out of the status of being a kli that was makabel tumah. The bottom line is over here, we said that the bell on the animal can be makabel tumah, or minu. That challenged the braisa that it said that the bell cannot accept tumah. So what's going on? Someone says, Lokasha? Depends. Hod the Islay Inbal, the Braisa that says that it can accept tumah is when it works as a bell. It has a clangor inside, and it knocks that Inbal against the bell, and it makes noise. Hod the Islay Inbal. But the Braisa that says that it's not makabel tumah, so that's talking about where there is no clangor. It doesn't make any noise. Someone says, wait a second, I don't understand. Manushah. Imanahu, if you're telling me the bell has the status of being a kli, so then what difference does it make if it has a clang or not? Apopi de lesle inbal, it still should be called a kli. So the fact that it makes noise isn't what makes it a kli. It's a bell, it's a kli. So it's a tachshit, and therefore it's makabel tumah. What does it make if it makes noise or not? Ah, you want to tell me it's not a tachshit? So ilav manu, it's not a kli. So then inbal, mashri le mona, so how does the clangor then make it into a kli? I don't understand over here. Either it's a kli or it's not a kli. It's a tachshit, it's not a tachshit. If it's a tachshit, it's makabel tumah, whether it has a clang or not. If it's not a tachshit, it's not makabel tumah, whether it's not a clang or not. As Rashi says, imanu, if it's considered the tachshit, then it's going to be a takshit whether it makes noise or not. And if you say it's not a takshit, so then how does the fact that it's a clangor somehow make it into being something that's significant? So the Gemara says, that's exactly the point. This is exactly what Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni Amar Yonason said. The Amar Shmuel ben Achmeni Amar Yonason, minayin lemashmiya kol bichli matocho shutome. How do you know that it's the fact that it makes a noise? That's what determines over here that it is going to be a kli that's capable of being kabel tumah. Because the pasuk says shenemar kol dovar asher yovo ba'esh. Taviru ba'esh. When we discuss in Chumash and Bamidbar how to be matar certain things, how to kasha certain things, so it said that anything that was used with fire, so you have to go and kasha it with fire. So that went through ba'esh, taviru ba'esh. But it said the expression kol dovar. So that implies afilu dibor, even if it only spoke, so to say. In other words, it was a kli only because it spoke, i.e. it had a clangor, it had a bell that had a clangor. Afilu dibor yavu ba'esh. Then the extra words, kol dover, come to tell us that not only is a kli that's used for cooking, for example, but this kli could be makabel tuma if it just makes noise, if it has a clangor. And therefore, if it has a clangor, it's makabel tuma. If it doesn't have a clangor, it's not makabel tuma because it has no other purpose over here. Fine. Gemara says, so how would we now explain this? Mayu kimta, we just explained it, but the less lay inba. We said that when it doesn't have a clangor, that's when it's not makabel tuma. Gemara says, but wait a second. Look at the middle part of the braisa. Ema mitziyosa. The middle part of the braisa, it says, v'lo b'guzug shebetzavoro. The person is not allowed to go out. The slave can't go out with a bell that's around his neck. However, but he could go out with the bell that's on his clothing. Before, until now, we're talking about the animal. Now we're talking about the slave. So we said that we differentiated with the slave between around its neck and on its clothing. And both the makabel tuma, v'zev zev makabel tuma. Now, wait a second. If you just told me that if it doesn't have the clangor, it's not makabel tuma, so mi makabel tuma, then how could that case be talking about where it's makabel tuma? And furthermore, urminu, it says, "Ho says zagin lemachteshes." If one makes a bell over here for a grinder, you have a mortar and pestle over here, machteshes. You make a grinder for it sometimes because we learned Rashi tells us that the Gemara tells us she nefat minbo samamonim lahakdil reach. And it says, Hakol Yofel lebisomim. We learned in the Gemara increases that when you make these spices, so they would have musical accompaniment. They would have this clanging bell over here because that somehow was good for the spice. Fine. So they would make a bell over here for the makteshes, for the mortar and pestle. For Larissa, they would make it for a baby's cradle. Rashi says, Shatinok shokhe besocha. And the tolu bozagin lekashkeish kidei sheish matinok yoshin. This is the rockabye baby of those days. So they would have this this noise-making bell on the baby's crib, and it would keep the baby asleep. It would soothe the baby. So if you're making a bell for either the mortar and pestle, or you're making it for the arisa, or limit pechos svarim ulimit pechos tinokos, or you're making it for some sort of a kisuya cover for either the svarim, or because of children, Rashi says, "Shenosin oson leves haknesses shatinoko shubeis rabim korin shom mekashkin hazog vatinoko shom menubayin." So the children know, they're bringing the books to school. So now it's time to go to school. So that's why they would make the bells for those svarim. Lemitpachos tinokos shetolim etzavarin. So they would wear them around the neck, and this way the people would know where the children were. So the Braisa says, "Yesh lein bal tmeim." If they have the clangor over here, then they are in fact tamei, capable of makabel tuma. But if they don't have the clangor inside, they're not capable of tabel tuma. Nitlu in Belehen, if they originally did have a clangor and then the clangor was taken out, so I die into Mosim Aleim. For the same reason that we said before, that they're still capable of kabel tuma because you didn't do any maisa to them over here. Now, this Brisa says beferish over here that if it never had a clangor, then it's not makabel tuma. Now, that argues with what we just said, that lo zubi savaro, that you can't go out with the zug that it's around the neck, but you can go out with the zug shebichsuso, and both of them are kabel tuma. So how can you differentiate over here whether it has a clangor or it doesn't have a clangor? Gemara says, no, there's a difference over here. Hani mila betinok. This is talking about the bells over here that they had on the clothing of children. The lekala avidalu. It specifically was only put on there, not for an adornment, but it's to let you know where the kid was. So it bedavka had to make a sound in order for it to be useful. Otherwise, it had no purpose whatsoever. Avol gadol, for the person that we're talking about going out with the bell around his neck or on his clothing, that's for an adornment. It's not for the purposes of identifying where the person is. Takshidule, it was somehow like jewelry. And therefore, afol gadoles beinbav, the fact that it makes noise or doesn't make noise is irrelevant. By the child, you specifically only want it to be with a clanger, because otherwise it has no purpose without a clanger. But by the adult, it has purpose with or without the clanger. And that's how you reconcile the two. Again, we go back and requote what we just said. Amamar nitlu in belayim. At the end of this newest brisa that we just brought down, we said that if it originally did have a clanger and you removed it, then it's still makabel tuma. Adayin tumasan alein. It still retains the ability to be makabel tuma. So Gemara says, but that implies that it still has some sort of a functionality over here. Lamai chazu. How is it able to be used in this situation that we say if the clanger is removed, it still is called a kli? Now, we're talking here that you did make a shinui in it. This should have made it go from being a kli, and you made a shinui maisa in it. You took out the clanger, so that makes it go from being a bell to not functioning as a bell. So it should have lost its tumah status. How come it's capable still of being makabel tumah? That's the Gemara's question. Amar Abaye, Abaye says as follows. Hoel shahedjot yochol lachziro. The clanger is just something you can slip in and slip out. And therefore, even a lay person is able to go and put that back in. You don't need an umma and a mumcha to go put it back in. And therefore, it's not considered a significant enough maisa that you changed it over here that it no longer is called a kli. That's what Abaye says. Rava doesn't like this. Mosiv Rava. Rava says, wait a second. Hazug via inbal chibor. It says the halacha is that the zug and the inbal, the bell and the clanger over here, are considered as one. And if you matami one, you matami the other. They are halachically deemed to be one entity. And therefore, if you were to go and remove the clanger, you have essentially made it ice kli, even though it can easily be put back in. So Rava says, I don't like your Teretz Abaye. You're going to tell me, no. We had in the previous year this following discussion. Even if you tell me that whether the clanger is there or not, it's considered one entity because the clanger's removal over here doesn't remove it from the status of being a kli. Is that what you want to answer me? Vatanya, but that's not right. Because we had a couple of days ago, misporis shel prokim. If you have a pair of scissors, right? We'll call it a pair of scissors. You have the two blades of the scissors, or vizemel shel rehitni, or you have the sharp part, the knife part of a plane that's attached to the rest of the plane. So this is considered one kli or two kalim over here. So it's chibur l'tuma, the ein chibur l'hazor. We said it's considered attached, still considered mechubar in regards to tuma, and therefore, if one blade or one part of the plane over here became tamei with tumas meis, so then the other one is also tamei with tumas meis, even though it never actually touched it. However, when you want to do the hazos on this, if you want to sprinkle the paraduma water on the third and seventh day, so then if you only sprinkle it on one of the two, then the other one is not considered as if it has paraduma on it. So we see over here, in some way it's considered mechuber, and in some way it's not considered mechuber. That doesn't make any sense. If you're reading a monoshop, we said it doesn't make any sense. Ichibru, if we consider them mechuber, so if you touched blade A, even though you didn't touch blade B is tame, so the same thing should apply to the hazos. If you sprinkle it on blade A, so then even though you didn't sprinkle it on blade B, so blade B should become tar. So if you consider them chiberhu, it should work for both. You're going to tell me the lav chiberhu, it's not considered connected, so then I feel the tumah namilo. So then how come if you touch blade A with the tumah, blade B becomes tame? Either they're both considered mechuber for both tumah and hazah, or neither one should be considered for tumah or hazah. So Gemara says, Rabbi said, no, you're right. Min haTorah, that's the halacha. The Torah, bishas malacha, when you're using them, they're considered mechuber, and therefore they would be mechuber bein l'tumah bein l'hazah. If tumah touched blade A, blade B would become tumah. If you sprinkled on blade A, then blade B becomes tar as well. That's when they're mechuber during the actual work. Shelo b'shas melacha, but when they're not being used, so they're not considered mechuber. Ain't a mechuber, not for tumah, lo l'tumah, and not lo l'hazah. And therefore, if it were tami A, it wouldn't be tami B. If you sprinkled on A, you wouldn't be sprinkled on B. However, the rabbis came along and made a gzera. The gazer al tumah shelo b'shas melacha, but The rabbi said, if sometimes it is Tamei, so then we better make it Tamei all the time, because you're not going to know necessarily the distinction over here. So therefore, Gozwal Tumash Lobishas Malacha, so even when you're not using it, they said that blade B becomes Tamei, Bishum Tumashi Bishas Malacha, because blade B does become Tamei during the time of Malacha. And likewise, Vahlazor Shibishas Malacha, and they said that the Hazor Bishas Malacha doesn't work, Bishum Hazor Shalobishas Malacha, because the Hazor Shalobishas Malacha doesn't work. So in this situation, they went Luchumra in both situations. So that's why Rabbi explained that only here are they treated in regards to Tumah as being Mechumar, but in regards to Azah as not being Mechumar. So therefore, that can't be the reason. Now we understand fully the question, that if the clangor over here was removed, so then why does it not lose its Tumah status? It still is considered a utensil. So Gemara says, Elamah Rava, Rava says, return to the Amud Aleph, Howil Royal Akisho Agabe Cheres, because even though the clangor's not there, you could still use it to bang on something and make a sound. If you banged it on a Kli Cheres, on an earthenware pot, so then it would still make a sound. It Manami Amar Yosi Ruchanina, he said the same thing. Howil Royal Akisho Agabe Cheres, since it still could work, even though it's not going to work in the normal way, but since it still could work in some way to make sound, therefore it is still considered a kli, even without the clangor. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Hover Roy Legamea Bomayim Latino. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you know why? It's not going to make sound necessarily, because the clangor's gone, but you still could use it to drink water. It could be used as a cup. And therefore, even though it doesn't have any purpose anymore as a utensil for making noise, but it still could have a different purpose, be used as a kli to drink water. Now we'll stop over here, but this is very important. There are two different reasons over here. One, the first reason we're saying is that it still functions as a noisemaker. The second reason, Rabbi Yochanan says, even though it doesn't function anymore as a noisemaker, it still has a functionality, and that's why it's called a kli. And we'll see there's a difference between these two reasons. Mitzvah Shem, we'll discuss that in tomorrow's shiur. That concludes today's shiur.